This is Sports Talk with Phil Kornblut, Chris Bergen, and Pat Daniel. Sports Talk is heard across the state on radio affiliates of the Sports Talk Media Network and is streaming live on sportstalksc.com, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. The South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number to call in is 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. Now, here are Phil, Chris, and Pat with tonight's edition of Sports Talk.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Sports Talk here on the Sports Talk Media Network on a Monday, beautiful Monday across the state of South Carolina. Hope you've had an enjoyable day, and now you are here for what will no doubt be the best 2 hours of your day, and it won't cost you a thing. The beautiful thing about Sports Talk, everything we do it for nothing, honey. We do it for nothing. Just look at our bank account. We do it for nothing, and we do it for you, and we do it for us because we love doing it. Phone number 888-898-2525. We're going to dive into calls here pretty early because I know you got a lot to talk about off the weekend, March Madness, the tournaments, the baseball over the weekend, maybe a little Bristol racing, Denny Hamlin back-to-back at Bristol, and some recruiting. Clemson gets a commitment today from Tay Harris, safety out of Georgia. Looks like a good pickup for the Tigers. David Sanders lines up official visits. South Carolina, Clemson, both included, and a lot of other stuff to talk about. Phone number 888-898-2525, South Carolina Education Lottery, lucky number. Go ahead and grab a line. We'll get to you. Josh Cohen behind the board tonight. Chris Bergen will be joining us momentarily. Bergie will be heading out tomorrow for Pittsburgh. He's going to cover the Gamecocks in their regional. I'll be heading to Memphis to cover Clemson in their regional. And Chris Deering will be handling the USC women for us in their two massacres. I'm telling you, the game on Friday against either Presbyterian or Sacred Heart, my first question is why? Why even play that game? I mean, seriously, I understand the spirit of the tournament and that, you know, the most underdog of the underdogs, you know, theoretically can win. But the Gamecocks, they're going to win that game by 70 points right now. I would say they will win easily by 70 points. The other teams might not score. If they don't want them to score, they won't score. So I'm sorry. That's in fact, the Gamecocks are giving away tickets. I saw where they were giving away free tickets to students to come to that game, like the first 500 or something. To come to that game Friday at 2 o'clock against the winner of Sacred Heart Presbyterian. Chris Bergen with us. Y'all packed up and ready to go?
No, but I was more concerned about the fact you said we do this for nothing because I spent a good bit of Sports Talk's money today, so I'm a bit concerned. I had to buy a flight, rental car. And a funny thing, and I told you this, so I have gotten so used. This will actually be, I believe, the first time I have ever attended a college basketball game out of town where I had to actually take care of my transportation on my own. And I told you the mistake I made. I actually booked a flight. I don't know how I did this, but I booked a flight for Pittsburgh for next month.
At a great price.
It really was a good price. I was excited. I was so excited about the price. I told Phil and everything was good. And then my wife called and said, by the way, do you realize you're supposed to go up in April, not March? I was like, what? Surely I didn't do that. See, I have lived at the Matt Hurt travel agency for so many years. The former director of basketball operations at Coastal is always taking care of our travel. So I am clueless. And so I clearly made a mistake. I had to go back and fix it. And unfortunately, didn't get quite the same rate. But nonetheless, I'll be flying out tomorrow. Looking forward to it. It's the first time I've ever been to an NCAA tournament game.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I'm excited.
NCAA tournaments, if you get the chance to relax and take them in, they are a lot of fun. You get to see different styles of basketball. You get to see fan bases that are different than what you're used to in some cases. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Of course, if the tournaments are exciting and you have some upsets. I went to one regional. It was the regional where Darren Horn earned the job at South Carolina. Clemson was playing in that regional. And it was in Tampa, Florida. And all four of the lower seeds won, including Clemson losing to Villanova, I think it was. All four of the lower seeds won. That was a game where Western Kentucky, coached by Darren Horn, won at the buzzer. And the guy that hit the shots, a guy that went and played in the NBA for a lot of years, played at Western Kentucky. Can't remember his name off the top of my head, but Darren Horn coached him. So, yeah, all four lower seeds won. So that made for a great buzz for that tournament. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it made for a great buzz for that regional. Kind of like the SEC tournament. What a wacko tournament that was.
Crazy.
I mean, seriously.
And my guess is that Western Kentucky team scored probably about 95 points because that was what Darren Horn hung his hat on, the play 94 by 50, press all over the floor, run up and down the court. And as soon as he got to South Carolina after his first year, he never did that again. And part of the reason he didn't hang around very long because that was his style. And I just never quite understood why he didn't try to implement that at USC. But the SEC tournament was flat out amazing. And Auburn proved that on a good weekend, I'm not sure there's anybody in the country that can stay with them. They are as good both on the offensive and defensive side of the coin as anybody in the country. And that includes UConn and Houston. Because if you allow them to get into their rhythm and in their flow, as South Carolina saw a couple of times in the first half before they got knocked out, and even as Florida saw, that was a fairly competitive game mm-hmm. going into the second half, and then all of a sudden you look up, boom, Auburn's up by 18, and it's over. And you just hate it for Florida, too, because Micah Hanlockton, who is an outstanding post player for them, probably is not going to be able to play in the NCAA tournament. Looked like he broke his ankle. And that's going to change their team, I think, considerably. And I don't know how good Florida can be in the tournament without him. But I was as impressed with Auburn as probably anybody over the weekend. They finally got their style working. And when it works, it's really, really hard to stop.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they can hurt you inside. They can hurt you outside. Mm-hmm. As South Carolina saw, they can block shots. They run the floor. They're kind of a complete team. They're going to be a tough out as they go through the tournament. Let's talk about, before we get to phone calls, 888-898-2525. I know you've already started doing homework on South Carolina and Oregon, Clemson and New Mexico. Charleston and Alabama, not a whole lot, in my opinion, to say there. I don't think the Cougars can play with Alabama. I think that's a very tough draw for them. So I look for them to have a tough night out there in Spokane. But South Carolina and Clemson, both six seeds, both have difficult opening opponents, mm-hmm. nothing they can take for granted. I was looking a little bit at both of them, and New Mexico, they've won 26 games. They ran through their conference tournament. They've got a three-guard offense. One of their stars is Jamal Mashburn Jr., averages in double figures. They do have a big man, who can rebound and score inside, I guess. This was like a difficult assignment for Clemson. I believe Vegas has made Clemson the underdog in this game. And I wonder where Clemson's head is, the way they finished up, going one and done at the ACC tournament, losing at Wake Forest, losing to NC State a couple of games before that. As it turned out, no shame, the way NC State played in the ACC tournament. But I really wonder where Clemson's head is at going into this NCAA tournament game.
It's a great question. I would hope they have recuperated. They've had plenty of time off since that loss in the first round of the tournament inexplicably to Boston College, and they could not have played any worse. They show up and don't give any efforts against New Mexico. They'll run them out of the building. This is a New Mexico team that's in the top 25 nationally in scoring. They average about 82 points a game. And gosh, I hope Jamal Mashburn Jr. is not nearly the player his dad was, because if so, P.J. Hall's in for a long, long night. Because Jamal Mashburn was an amazing, amazing college player. Mm-hmm. But it is. I think that's a very, very difficult draw for Clemson. And I think Oregon is an extremely difficult draw for the Gamecocks. You're talking about two teams in New Mexico and Oregon. Both won their conference tournaments. So they come in with momentum. Oregon appears to be about as healthy as they have been in a long, long time. And they've got an inside guy, Nafali Dante, who's about 6'10". Who averages 16-9 a game, that could give them a lot of problems. I think Colin Murray-Boyles is going to have his hands full with him, and I think that's going to be the matchup. How can South Carolina handle Oregon's inside? And then what does Jermaine Cousinard bring to the table, the former Gamecock, who I'm guessing he looks at this as just another game because he doesn't know anybody on the other side of the coin, right? He didn't play with any of the current members at USC, I don't think. Certainly didn't play for the coaching staff there, so I'm guessing he just looks at this as another game for him.
Yeah, I would think so. But, there were two – I think there are two Gamecocks who were at South Carolina when he was there. So There's not a lot of connection, but you know, when he sees the Gamecocks on the jersey, it's going to bring back some memories to him. And, you know, he's going to want to go out and show him that he can still shoot it. That was his thing when he was at South Carolina, and he's averaging almost 16 points and almost 5 rebounds and almost 3 assists. So he's having a terrific year for Oregon at this point. And Oregon, they like the up-tempo. And can South Carolina, they're going to have to, you know, to be successful, they control tempo. When they're able to control tempo and keep the game in the 60s, low 70s, that's when they've got their best opportunity. Will they be able to do that against this team that you look up and down their schedule for this year? I see a lot of games in the upper 80s, some in the 90s. Now, in the tournament, they were more in the 60s. So, I don't know, maybe they slowed it down. Maybe the defenses of UCLA and Arizona, and I don't recall what the score was with Colorado, but those other games were in the 60s. So, this will be a kind of a interesting matchup of different styles, I would say.
Yeah, I was thinking about what you said a few minutes ago about going to a regional and seeing all kinds of contrasting styles of play, and I think even in this game, South Carolina's going to want to grind this thing down and make Oregon work on defense every possession and cut this down to, you know, a 65-63 type ball game, and I think they win that. It gets up above 75 points. I think you've got to favor the Ducks. And so South Carolina's defense, which has been really, really good all season long with the exception of the Alabama schools, and fortunately, Oregon's not in the state of Alabama, so you got to like that. You know, they keep it in the they allow their defense to work for them. I think they'll be fine. I'll be curious to see how Lamont Paris handles that defensively. I mentioned the big guy inside, Dante. Do you run some Josh Gray at him and just use his physical nature to try and bump him around a little bit and maybe get some fouls from Josh Gray and vice versa, and maybe keep Colin Murray Boyles off of him and allow Josh Gray to deal with that guy because he's maybe not the height, but he certainly got the girth inside. I'd be interested to see what kind of defense they run out there against them.
A little bit more on Cousinard's season. I mean, he's really having a heck of a year. He's been averaging over 20 points per game like in the past month of the season. He's shooting right at 40% from the floor, 33.5% from threes, 74% from the line. So he's given them good all-round scoring that he could do at South Carolina. It was Gray and Jacoby Wright. Those are the two Gamecocks who were with him at South Carolina. They have – I don't know this player. I'm looking at their roster. They have a player from Malden on their roster, James Cooper. He's playing 11 games this season. He's a 6'6 junior from Malden. I don't know his background, don't know his history. Going to have to look that name up and see if he's a JC transfer or a transfer from another school. Not a frontline player for them, but on their roster. So another connection to the Oregon Ducks. Okay, a couple of other quick notes. We'll get to your phone calls, 888-898-2525, South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number. And first and foremost, I want to tell you, and then we'll remind you, since this is the first time we're talking about it, we're telling you, but then we'll remind you from here until the games start on Thursday, we've got our fantastic Sports Talk Bracket Challenge 2024 live and available for you. And you want to get your brackets in. You can put up to 5 brackets in this year. And the winner is going to get some great stuff. 2 tickets to the Goodyear 400 at Darlington. And I mean good tickets. I mean Pearson Grandstand, halfway up, see the whole race, see the whole track.
Nice.
Good tickets. Yeah. Also, we're going to give you
better seats than we get.
Absolutely. Better seats than we get. Probably not as good as food as we get, but
true.
Probably a better view than where the press box is. Also, to the winner, you get 2 tickets to a Braves game of your choice, tickets permitting, regular season, okay? No World Series or playoff tickets. But you want to go see the Braves play the Padres or something? Then you just let us know and we'll get you there. We'll put you in there. That's for the first place winner. Now, the second place, the runner-up, we're doing a runner-up this year. Runner-up gets a choice of 2 tickets to the college baseball game of their choice. Doesn't have to be South Carolina or Clemson. It could be North Greenville against Newberry. I mean, your choice. Two tickets. Also, we're going to give you a Ronald Acuna commemorative bat that we have, that we received.
Oh, I'm jealous.
It is awesome. Very cool. It's a beautiful, it's a full-length bat in honor of his season of a year ago with all his accomplishments. So we're going to throw that in there as well. But you got to get your bracket in. It's the ESPN Bracket Challenge. Just look up Sports Talk SC Bracket Challenge 2024, Sports Talk SC Bracket Challenge 2024, and get your brackets in. A lot of folks have. And go ahead and get them in. And good luck to you, and good luck to all of us. We're all playing. Of course, if you're affiliated with Sports Talk, you can't win the prizes. You can only play for pride if you're a member of the staff. I'm sorry. That's the way it goes. Also, Clemson's, I guess she's their best basketball women's player, Ruby Whitehorn. She's in the transfer portal, John. So she's headed out as they change coaches at Clemson. So something to keep an eye on there. You know, the
can I make a comment about that?
Well, let me are you going to make the same comment I'm going to make?
Probably so. Probably so. So go ahead.
Well, you can go ahead. You make your comment, and I'll see if it was my comment.
And it's not Ruby. She's not alone. But why in the world did the NCAA allow the transfer portal to open up today of all days? Today should be a day, and I saw this earlier, and I thought it was spot on. Today should be a day to talk about the brackets. Talk about the matchups, get excited about who made the NCAA tournament, not be upset about the fact that Coastal Carolina lost its entire backcourt today. They had three players jump into portal, John, today. This is not the right time. There's some, I'm not here to legislate whether or not we should have the transfer portal. That ship has sailed. But we can set up parameters, and having it open the day after the NCAA selection show on both sides of the coin, men's and women's, just is horrible for the sport.
It's like,
absolutely,
it's like Dabo Swinney said a couple of weeks ago. These people don't think things through when they make these decisions. You had plenty of time to look at the ramifications of the date for, and that was what I was going to talk about. You have, you know, you could look at the window and see just how it doesn't fit. It makes no sense to do this right after the end of the conference tournaments when everybody should be focused on and excited about the upcoming tournaments. Not only that, I mean, now you've got recruiting going on while you're trying to, you know, focus on getting your team ready for tournament play. You also have to keep an eye on the portal. You're just adding – they're just adding more to their plate than is necessary. You could very easily have waited until after the national championship weekend and then opened the window there. It doesn't have to be 45 days. Make it a 20-day. Why does it have to be 45 days? You can't make up your mind in 20 days if you want to transfer or not and where you want to go. Make it a 20-day window. Okay, 25-day window. Then make it a 45-day window. It goes on forever. None of this makes good common sense, and, and they seldom apply good common sense to these decisions, and that's why you look at it and you go, this is just stupid. Also,
and I wonder too, Phil, I saw several of the high majors who told the NIT, don't select us because we're not coming. Ole Miss is one of them. And I wonder if part of the problem is they realized the portal was going to open tomorrow. You know, this was yesterday when they let the NIT know this. And I wonder if they were thinking, all right, first off, we may lose players because we're not in the NCAA tournament. Secondly, I'd rather be out on the road the next week or so trying to steal some players from other schools while these schools are worried about the NCAA tournament.
That's exactly it. That was the comment that that they made, that we're starting to work on next year. Same thing with St. John's. Patino said, you know what, I'm starting to work on next year and getting to the NCAA tournament. You know, as much as we respect the NIT, blah, blah, blah.
I do think it's funny, though. The NIT messed this up on its own. It had a pretty good formula. Invite regular season champions if they don't qualify for the NCAA tournament. Then they realized there were too many mid-majors in their mind that were getting into the tournament. Heaven forbid we have good basketball teams, regardless of what level in which they play. So let's make it better for the high majors to get in. Let's invite teams who don't deserve to be in the postseason, but let's make sure because they play in the SEC or the ACC, they have an opportunity. And now those schools are the ones that are saying, nah, we're not interested.
Well, that's probably going to change in a couple of years, unfortunately, and I'll tell you why. I read a story today on The Athletic where there is growing movement being led by Greg Sankey, of course, who wants to destroy everything in his own eyes. In other words, he wants to destroy everything, all the previous platforms, everything, the way things have been done, simply because you can do it and things need to change every so often. But, of course, he wants it changed for the benefit of the SEC. But he's one who's pushing for an expansion of the tournament to possibly 76 teams. And it's not to benefit the one-and-done leagues.
No.
The one-bid leagues, it's to benefit the power leagues to get more of them so we can have more 15 and 16-win teams in the tournament. That's what we really want. Just like we're going to have a three-loss NCAA football national championship team here in the near future because so many teams are going to get in and the SEC is going to be guaranteed so many spots, a two- or three-loss team is going to get in, get hot, run the table, win the championship, just water it down. And simply because you want more teams to make more money. Don't worry about what the finished product's going to look like. And his favorite term is bandwidth. He used it again. He used that in Columbia when he met with the media a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what it means exactly. Talking about the bandwidth for the playoffs is like, I don't know, greater than where it is now. I don't really know what that means.
I have no idea.
Yeah. But, yeah, he is behind – he's one of the people behind this. And, again, you know, as they point out, they've only expanded by four teams since the 70s, right? It was 64 teams. It was 32, then it went to 64. Then it held at 64 till they went to 68. That, of course,
did it go from 32 to 48 first?
Did it go 32-48? I don't know.
I'd have to go back and double check.
Yeah.
I don't remember the jump from 32 all the way to 64. It may have been, but I thought there was a step in between.
Well, I'm just saying any decision like this for expansion purposes because you want to milk more money out of television ultimately dilutes and weakens the product down the road as I see it because you're going to be the NFL. He wants it to be the NFL. He wants a champion like the NFL could have had a Super Bowl champion that the Packers had won. They'd have had a Super Bowl champion with eight losses.
Yeah.
And everybody would have been fine with that. They'd have been fine with that. It's the NFL, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's what you want college football to get to, and that's where you're headed with champions with multiple losses when for, you know, decades you'd have zero losses or one at the max. All right,
and you were right. It went from 32 to 64.
Yeah.
It was 32 until 1985. It went to 64. And then in 2001, it went to 65. And that wasn't enough. So let's add three more teams so we can have four play-in games. And now that's where we are, at least for now.
Yeah. The format that I read, if they went to like 76 teams, would be you would have 24. You would have 24 teams playing in the first round to advance into the main draw, something like that. Yeah, it's just, you know, whatever. Just going to keep killing the golden goose.
Leave it alone.
The USC women had a player in the portal, John, as well. She's a player that you didn't hear much from, but she was highly recruited, but she was suspended most of the year and will probably draw a lot of attention. Sonia Ja. So she's in the portal, John. Dawn Staley actually put out a statement about her leaving. Like, you know, sorry things didn't work out, wish you well, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was very short. It was like two sentences. But, so I'm not sure Dawn is losing a whole lot of sleep over her transferring out of the program.
Well, I mean, she was supposed to be a really good player. And, you know, you got to give it a chance to develop. You got as a player and fit into the system. But obviously she did something. Something happened during the season that led to her to be suspended. And our poll question of the week, based on the bracketing, which of the three teams from the state in the men's tournament will advance to the second weekend? 234 votes are in this afternoon. 60.7% say the Gamecocks, 16.7% say Clemson, and 2.6% say the College of Charleston. I think I could probably ride with those numbers. Kind of agree with that. By the way, South Carolina 16th in the AP top 25 this week. That's down one from last week. Of course, the women still unanimous number one in their ranking. Okay, we'll get to the phone calls after the break. Okay, let's get to your phone calls. The phone number 888-898-2525. That is the South Carolina Education Lottery. Lucky number, Phil Kornblut, Chris Bergen, at your service on this Monday night. Looking forward to another year of March Madness. And let's begin our phone calls by going to, you'll have to tell me because I don't have the list here. My bad, I didn't open the list up in time.
Keith from Camden.
Keith in Camden. All right, first up tonight here on Sports Talk. Keith, welcome into Sports Talk. How are you?
I'm doing great, Phil. A little under the weather,
oh,
but
no.
Can't complain.
What you got?
Yeah, a little bronchitis, but, you know, not too sick to listen to y'all.
Well, hopefully we take a little bit of the pain out of your system.
Yeah. So, hope Chris is doing well, too. Look, going back to our last game, you get the sense, we want to keep people in the 60s, but I tell you what really shocked me was just Auburn just smothered us and just shut us down offensively and did at will what they wanted to do. And I know we're not on the caliber of Auburn. And, the job Lamont's done and the coaching staff, it's hard to complain. But what I wanted to address was Tanner's and the boards in across the country, how willing at the drop of any hope of any little success in the long extension of Lamont's contract. What's your perception of that in the marketplace that we're in? And I don't want to downplay the success we had this year in any way. But the reality is Tanner doesn't have a real good track record in my eyes. So that's my question. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Why then? Why the day before? Why not 2 weeks after the tournament? Are we that worried somebody's going to lasso him overnight? I don't get it.
Yeah, possibly so. Possibly so. There were a couple of jobs out there that might have drawn his attention. And, you know, traditionally, you get a lot of contract announcements, extensions the week of the conference tournaments, which surprised me that we haven't heard anything from Clemson and what they're working on with Brad Brownell. I mean, maybe it's in the works. Maybe they're going to announce something this week or after the NCAA tournament, or maybe they're thinking something else. I don't know. I would have thought they would have done something with Brad Brownell going into the ACC tournament. As far as what South Carolina has done with Paris, I mean, let's face it, it's very similar to Muschamp. Muschamp had a good second year. It was a good second year, right? And and he gets the huge contract and the huge extension and all that. And it never worked out from there. You just have to, if you're a Gamecock fan, if you're Ray Tanner, if you're the administration, you cross your fingers and you hope that this guy is going to be able to build. And he believes that they will build off of what they've done this year. He believes they've got a culture in place and they're going to attract the right players to keep it going. And when you look at who potentially is coming back, this is the sad thing about college sports right now, because you really don't know for sure who's coming back. But you look at who possibly could come back, and you know for sure they're losing Mack and they're losing Cooper. But everybody else has the potential to come back. And the players that they have added, they got the chance to have the nucleus of a really good team next year. And you figure that they're going to be improved with another year under this coaching staff and another year of experience with the young guys. So, but the expectations will be higher. You know, they were the cute little story around the SEC this year because they were picked dead last, and they almost won the darn thing. So going into next year, they're going to be picked probably fourth or fifth, and expectations are going to be much higher. So there'll be a little more pressure on everybody to deliver and live up to that contract.
Yeah, well, you know, no reflection on Parrish and what they've done. I just feel like, you know,
Are you saying he should not? Are you saying they should not have done it?
I'm not saying, you know, who am I to say what? You know, if it works out, it's great. I'm just saying I don't think there's enough body of work displayed to make such a strong decision to do a six-year deal. I mean, that's my opinion, and it's worth a nickel.
No, your opinion is as good as anybody else's.
My opinion's influenced based on Tanner's track record. But, look, I'm hopeful, and I, you know, it's just an opinion. But we'll see, you know.
Time will tell.
That's why they get paid. Time will tell. Look, what do you think of, and I'll hang up and listen. What do you – the matchup is not an easy matchup either.
No, no, of course not. I think you can throw the seedings out the window here to steal a worn-out phrase. I think you can throw the seedings out the window here, Chris. I think these are two relatively evenly matched teams talent-wise. Again, I think it will depend on which one is able to impose their will on the other the most here. If Oregon is able to speed South Carolina up and make them play at that quicker tempo, I think that could be a problem for them. If South Carolina can pound it inside to their big guys, and if Matt can back down a couple of those bigger Oregon players and score over them, and Murray Boyles is able to do some good things inside, you know, get Gray some good minutes off the bench to score inside and do some damage and keep the turnovers to a minimum, that sort of thing, then I think they'll have an excellent chance. But they got to make shots. That's very simple about basketball. You got to make shots. Might be the easiest sport in the world to analyze beyond all the X's and O's. You can run the greatest plays in the world. If you don't make the shots, it's worthless. You know, you come away with nothing.
Yeah.
So who makes the shots?
Yeah.
I hate to be this simplistic about it, but who makes the shots is going to win the game. I mean, Chris, you see a lot more up-close college basketball than I do. But, I mean, simply, it's about who puts it in the basket.
Well, I think the key to that is going to be getting Michi Johnson back going. Michi, over the last four ball games, has really struggled from three-point range, and I think that has hurt them, even though they've won a couple of games. You know, they beat Arkansas with I was looking at the stats. He was 0-4 from three-point range in that win over Arkansas and 3-10 from the field. They can't afford to have him disappear like he has down the stretch. You begin to wonder if all the minutes that he has played and Talon Cooper and his minutes are starting to stack up on those guys, because they have played a bushel load of minutes this season. Cooper over 1,000 minutes of game action this season, and plus, how healthy is he coming off the injury against Auburn? You hope he's okay. They're going to need him to go. But to answer Keith's question, I think maybe to make him feel a little bit better about the Lamont Paris situation, I don't think you can compare the two. Will Muschamp didn't take a program and turn it completely around in year two and turn it into an SEC contender. I think that's part of the reason you have to reward Lamont Paris for what he did this season. I mean, he took a team that won 11 games last year and won 26 this year. And as you pointed out, Phil was in the mix up until the final game, basically the final game of the regular season, with a chance to win the league. He's got to be rewarded for that. And also, there was nobody knocking on Ray Tanner's door for Will Muschamp after year number two. From what we understand, Lamont Paris's name was in the mix for several different openings, and I found it interesting that Ohio State, after being rumored as one of those potential landing spots, ultimately they promote within, because that, you know, you wonder if they got who they wanted or they were stuck. It felt like, let's just give it to the guy who had done a pretty good job sort of holding it together the back half of the season.
All right, thanks for the phone call. 888-898-2525. Let's go to Gamecock Larry. Next up with us on Sports Talk, Gamecock Larry. Welcome in. Hope you're doing well. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you're feeling well. Hope you're excited about the week ahead.
Yes, sir. I got my brackets filled out. And number one, after that short trip, I think that wherever Clemson's going, one and done, you'll hear about Brian Dell the next day. The decision has been made. Win and stay, lose and go. Number two, Kim Mulkey don't like the seed she got. Already crying. It's okay. I hope we see you. Well, I got you. We're going to see you again. And Dawn is waiting on it. Number three, just got a talk with my buddy up there, Dabo's buddy, Gamecock Nelson, he said, but I think he's Tyler from Spartanburg. He's coming down here. We're going to one of these baseball games. Number four, the baseball team, the top four hitters, Friday night's game, 0-16-11 strikeouts. They either swing for the fence or watch the pitch third strike go by. I ain't complaining. And number four, Chris, you're going to have a three-day stand wherever you go. We go win the first two, and I figure we may lose the third game. That's about all I got to say, Mr. Field.
All right.
But I hope you had a good weekend.
You too.
I was trying to think of something I could pick an argument with you.
No, and there's nothing to argue about.
No, it's not. But every time I hear you, you're talking about my AD over there. Don't you jump on Tanner. Don't you jump on my commissioner of football.
Stanky?
What's his name?
Stanky.
Stanky?
Greg Stanky.
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 But don't you be picking on my leadership now.
Leading you down the primrose path. Leading you down the primrose path. All right, we got to run. Thank you, Gamecock Larry. We appreciate it.
He's not going to have to worry about LSU being around for South Carolina to deal with in the NCAA tournament. They're not getting out of the Regional 2. I mean, they're in there with Iowa and UCLA, two teams that are better than them. They're not making it to the Final Four. And one thing to his point about Brad Brownell being win and move on, lose and be done, I don't know if that's true, but my new favorite team in this tournament is Long Beach State.
Mm-hmm.
They fired their head coach before the tournament started last week, their conference tournament, and they ran through it and won the league, the Big West tournament, to earn a berth in the NCAA tournament. I hope they go to the Sweet 16. Then what are you going to do?
Not going to happen. Don Monson is the guy. Veteran coach,
yes.
Been around a long time. I found that story I alluded to about Greg Sankey and this article in The Athletic, and I was looking for where he mentioned the word bandwidth. So, you know, it says here in an interview with ESPN last week, Sankey cited 2021 UCLA's run from the first four to the final four, the 2018 first four teams, Syracuse making the Sweet 16. In other words, he was citing examples of major teams that you put them in the tournament and they can make things happen. His quote was, that just tells you that the bandwidth inside the top 50 is highly competitive. So bandwidth, that's what I'm trying to figure out, where he's trying to apply the term, the technical term bandwidth, related to the competition of teams. How does that work? Anyway, that's his word. I used that in Columbia too, in trying to explain the expansion of the playoffs, the bandwidth. We are giving away, here's what he said, we are giving away highly competitive opportunities for automatic qualifiers. In other words, the dummies from the little conferences.
Yes.
And I think that the pressure is going to rise as we have more competitive basketball leagues at the top end because of expansion. In other words, we're adding two more teams, so we need to get more teams into the tournament at the expense of the one-bid leagues. So, you know, unless they, you know, expand it again to 76 or 80-some or however many other teams you want to put in there. But if you continue to expand, I mean, I don't think anybody would say 68 has turned out to be a bad number, would they? That going from what it was to what it was to what it is now certainly doesn't feel like it's a bad thing. Feels like it works well. Now you start crossing that line into the 70s and 80s to where it's basically give everybody a trophy tournament. Is it going to take away or is it going to add to it? He seems to believe it's going to add to it. Naysayers feel the opposite.
he couldn't be more wrong on this situation at all. And just because Syracuse happens to get into the tournament, or, you know, Mississippi, or pick mid-range teams, pick South Carolina, Clemson, if they get hot, that doesn't necessarily mean that they had earned it during the regular season. This is supposed to be a reward for what you did from November up until the middle of March, not for what you could do for six ball games. And the other thing they need to do is stop allowing conference champions, conference tournament champions, to have to play in the play-in game. You earn the right to be in the tournament. The play-in game should be for those mid-level, high-major teams. Make all them fight for those spots. Those teams from the one-bid league should be in the tournament, not having to win another game to get into the tournament.
That's a good point. I'll address something on the other side, but that's a good point. Back in a moment.
I'm attorney Jim Corbett. That's the sound of a big hit on you and your car or truck. I've been an attorney for more than 30 years, helping people who get injured in car wrecks and truck wrecks. If you have serious injuries, call Jim Corbett, 803-765-2968, or email me at jim@jimcorbettattorney.com. That's C-O-R-B-E-T-T. I don't get paid unless I recover for you. Jim Corbett Attorney, for your best recovery from a big hit, 803-765-2968, or jim@jimcorbettattorney.com.
Stay tuned. More Sports Talk is coming up on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Every lottery ticket purchase keeps education in our state moving forward. In fact, the lottery has raised more than $200 million for state school buses to get our students to school safely every day. Then, the lottery helps those students go even further in their education by funding the Life, Hope, and Palmetto Fellow Scholarships. So remember, when you play the lottery, you're keeping South Carolina students on the road to success. Learn more at sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
George Bryant here for Tsunami Bar Sports, and some say the fun is in the winning. I say the fun is in the training. And Tsunami Robbie, what do you say?
George, we all know you get more done when you're having fun. This technology is different, it's engaging, but it's also a lot of fun to use.
Hi, this is Phil Kornblut. Be sure to click on the digital ad on sportstalksc.com and get 5% off any Tsunami Bar order using promo code BBB5. Don't wait, order today.
All right, back to your phone calls, 888-898-2525. And as we go, I want to remind you very quickly that your summer vacation is coming up. Or maybe you don't want to wait till summer. You want to do something this spring. You want to get away to the coast of South Carolina. Make sure you call Jimmy Smith right away at 843-237-4246. Paulie's Vacation Rentals.com. James W. Smith Real Estate Company. 843-237-4246 for your perfect beach getaway. Let Jimmy work with you. Put everything together so that you'll have a great time at the beach at a great location at a great price. 843-237-4246. All right, now back to your phone calls. 888-898-2525. We go to Lee in Greenville. Next with us. From the upstate. Lee, welcome in. Good to have you with us tonight.
Hey, brother. I'm from Greenwood.
Greenwood. That's upstate. That's close enough.
You're right. You know who I am.
I do.
I've talked before.
It's Lee in Greenwood, also known as the great singer Lee Greenwood.
No, I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. Anyway, I know what Clemson needs to do for Brad Brownell, and it's probably going to upset Mr. Chris. But they need to give him his pink slip. I have watched them over and over. They should have run Wake Forest out the gym. They can't run the ball. They can't push the ball. And if that Girardi shoots, he's either hot or he's cold as this wind is blowing right now. And every time I watch him, he's cold as the wind blowing. I mean, you could take a case of hot beer and make it cold, froze with him shooting. He's horrible. But anyway, And to answer Mr. Keith's question, see, Ray Tanner and them, they spend money like Congress. It ain't their money to spend. So they can give away all these raises because it don't affect them. They don't have to pay it. But the fans and the trustees and the people of the state of South Carolina, both at Clemson and at South Carolina, have to pay that. And I'm not saying the gentleman at South Carolina don't deserve it because he's done a great job. Heck, if y'all don't want him, we'll take him at Clemson because he's far better than Brownell. Brownell is horrible. I don't know if he could win in the Peach Belt.
Well, I got to be honest with
you. He's that bad.
I got to be honest with you. I was a little bit, not going to say taken back, I was a little bit surprised. He sounded very subdued to me at the press conference yesterday after they got their bid. Did you see that, Chris? To me, he seemed subdued. I mean, I don't know if there's something going on in the background, if there's something on his mind, if he already knows something. I don't know anything. I'm just watching and observing and drawing my own conclusions. I don't know if you heard the comments, Lee, after they got their bid yesterday, but it just seemed to me that he was a little bit more reserved than a guy who just gotten a rare NCAA tournament bid, fourth time in his 14 years.
Well, I didn't hear his comments but the way his team, the last 4 minutes of a ball game, he is horrible. I mean, it's absolutely horrible. They cannot finish the deal. You know, I'll go back to the Wake Forest game. Far more talent. They play a half-court offense. Why are you playing a half-court offense against a team you can run out the gym? Run them out the gym. Get them on the run. Wear them out. Because if you let them shooters get hot, they'll wear you out. And that's what happens. No different than Boston College. Boston College is horrific. But there again, what do we do? You know, just lackadaisical. And I'm tired of hearing that Clemson, well, they don't care about basketball. I disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at all these other football schools. Look at Auburn. Good God almighty. That's a ball team right there. That's the kind of team you can get up and watch and be excited to watch. Clemson's like reading a fable. You might as well get your Aesop book out and read it. You'll have more entertainment.
But I'm going to say this. I know you want a more exciting style, but I argue that Brownell's best teams are the ones that play the way South Carolina plays, are the ones that pound
you
inside and
play
and play great defense. Well, that's right. He's got guys that don't play great defense, and I don't think he's really good at coaching a good or coaching a team that's more offensive-minded than it is defensive-minded. And he'll complain about that.
I agree with you there.
He's complained about that during this season and previous seasons.
But he's the coach. If you got kids that don't want to do what you ask them to do, then you put them over there and let them watch the game.
Now,
you know what I mean?
But, I mean, you know, he recruited these guys. And, I mean, look, P.J. Hall, for all the great things he does, he's got to get you more than two.
Defense.
Well, he's got to get you more than two or three rebounds per game as well. You can't put everything on Shefflin's back and say, go get us every rebound.
I agree.
You know, Godfrey will go in there and get some rebounds, but, you know, P.J. Hall's got the size and the muscle to go in there and get some rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
There's some rebound games he's only had one or two.
He's got them out on the top. Right, but he spreads them out and puts them on the top of the key. Why is a 6'9" dude at the top of the key?
Well, he can knock down the three. He can knock down the three. And if you do that as a big guy, you're going to stretch the defense, and then your guards are able to drive into the paint and get to the basket. I think that's the concept.
I don't see no driving.
Yeah.
Well,
Chase Hunter.
No driving.
Chase Hunter had his moments. He's kind of cooled off here of late, but he's had his moments. Lee, we got to run, man, but we appreciate you. Thank you,
brother,
sir. Good hearing from you. All right, those of you holding, we'll continue with the calls right after the top of the hour break. So don't worry, we'll get to you. Hang in there. We'll take more calls. 888-898-2525 is the number. Back in a moment.
Welcome back to Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network. You can reach the guys with the South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number, 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. Now back to Phil, Chris, and Pat with the second hour of Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Okay, we're back. Sports Talk Media Network, 888-898-2525, taking your phone calls. Jim Thoman will be here at 735. Talk about the baseball weekend. What a weekend for Clemson, taking 2 out of 3 at Duke. And South Carolina, I know losing 2 out of 3 is never good, but winning that last one certainly had to feel good for the Gamecocks at Ole Miss, maybe getting them off the schneid a little bit there offensively and getting some key hits for a change instead of leaving runners on the bags in scoring position as they've been doing all season. Now they get Vanderbilt in Columbia this weekend after playing Upstate tomorrow night in Greenville. And let's see, Coastal Carolina took 2 out of 3 as well, their series. So College of Charleston took their series from Wofford. So anyway, Coach Thoman will be here just a bit outside, 7:35, to talk some college baseball. Oh, this is what I wanted to say. I forgot to mention this about your point about giving the tournament champions from the one-bid leagues, don't have them play in the play-in round, put them in the main draw because they deserve it. I get that, except what do you say about the case of a Long Beach State that had a terrible season but just got hot for a weekend? You want to reward a team that just got hot for 3 or 4 games and give them something other than a 16 seed and let them go right into the main draw?
If you are going to declare them as the conference champions, then yes. If what they should do in one-bid leagues is reward the regular season champions, not have a tournament. That way, teams who were good for 4 months get credit for what they did, as opposed to, your point, a team that was good for 4 days. But as long as the NCAA and those conferences have set it up where their automatic qualifier to the NCAA tournament is a conference is deemed a conference champion, then yes, a 7th seed or 9th seed or 10th seed out of the ACC or the SEC or the Big Ten should not be rewarded. They should have to go fight their way to get into the tournament, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Don't penalize those schools who went out and did what they're supposed to. Like you were joking about the women's matchup, and I think you're right. But Presbyterian should not have to, nor should, who is it that they play, Sacred Heart. Both of those teams are conference champions. They should be in the main draw. They shouldn't have to fight their way one more time just to get into the main draw and then to get blown out by the Gamecocks. But nonetheless, they should have the right and the opportunity to celebrate being in the tournament. Those teams aren't in the tournament yet. They've got to win one more game. They did what they were told by their conference they're supposed to do, and they should be rewarded for that.
All right, back to the phones. Tommy, West Columbia, welcome into Sports Talk. How are you?
This is Tommy the Palm Shooter from West Columbia.
Welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really good. This is an angry call.
I'm not exactly sure what a palm shooter is, but go ahead.
Well, you and I have had this conversation before. You always said you shoot with your fingers.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you do. Fingertip control. That's right. You get it up on your fingers.
Right, right.
Pop the wrist, put the backspin on it. 17.5. What was it Buck Freeman used to tell us at Frank McGuire's camp? No, I think it was 12.5 rotations from the foul line is the perfect foul shot. I think it was 12.5 rotations.
Well, that's why Buck Freeman died.
He died because he got to be like 95 years old. That's why he died.
Right. But let me tell you something. I was watching the Carolina game the other night, and I watched these big guys under the basket that can't shoot free throws. And for some reason, They never improve. They never improve. And the big guys flip the ball with their fingertips. And the guards, they put the ball in their palm and thrust it toward the basket. And they make them like it's nothing to it. I was watching the Carolina, LSU game, the other girls' game, women's game.
Mm-hmm.
And they came down, and the big women, they did that flip shot, and they missed them all, you know. And I said, you know, they would have won that game probably 5 or 6 points over Carolina if somebody would teach them how to shoot free throws. I mean, they don't have to be outside shooting three-pointers with their palms, which that's the way to do it. But if they would just do that, in fact, I'm if you don't call somebody and tell Carolina and tell them how to shoot free throws like that, big girls, I'm going to call LSU, and the next time they play Carolina, they're going to win the game. Because that's the only way you can shoot is with your palm. Thrust your palm toward the basket. Phil, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. What do you think?
Well, I've always been a fingertip guy. Let's ask Chris. He watches a lot of college basketball up close, and he sees high-level players. Now, our argument here, Chris, and this goes back a couple of years, so I've always been taught that you get the basketball on your fingertips, you dribble with your fingertips, and when you shoot your shot, the ball goes off your fingertips, it rolls off your fingertips. That's what puts the rotation.
No,
but
exactly,
Tommy
palm.
Believes it's got to be in your palms, that your palms got to initiate the spin, and it rolls off the palm of your hand through the fingers and towards the basket. What do you know from your experience?
Well, my experience has always been you shoot it with your fingertips as well. And to Tommy's point about the Gamecock women, they probably could improve a little bit at the line. They're shooting 68-69%, but LSU's right around 75%. And the Gamecock men actually shoot about 71-72% as a team. I think most teams around the country would take that.
No. You dribble with your palm. You shoot with your palm. Your fingertips react.
You can't dribble with your palm. You have no control of the basketball if you dribble it with your palm.
No, you dribble with your palm, and your fingertips react as you go down the court.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You got five fingers.
I've had coaches tell me. I've had coaches tell me, and we're gonna let you go because we've got a bunch of people waiting. Thank you. I've had coaches tell me, go out and play basketball on a dirt court. Or a cement court that's got dirt on it, whatever. And if you've got dirt on the palm of your hand, then you're not dribbling the ball correctly. Your fingers should be dirty. The dirt should come up because the palm of your hand should never touch the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've always been told. Tommy believes differently. He's from that era of set shooting, two-hand set shots, apparently.
Sure.
You know, he's not from the jump shot era where we grew up. And starred and led our teams to untold victories. Thank you for the phone call, 888-898-2525. We continue with your phone calls. Let's go to Hank in Columbia. Next up on the program, Hank, welcome in. Good to have you with us.
I'm doing fine, Corn.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I've always been taught fingertips, too.
There you go. We agree on something.
And went to many clinics because I coached girls basketball for about 10 years.
You coached girls basketball?
Yeah, for about 10 years in high school when I was first teaching before I got into administration.
What high school did you coach girls basketball?
Oh, in Edisto High School right there in Orangeburg.
I know Edisto.
Edisto down 301.
Yes, sir.
And many clinics, a million clinics, fingertips. And the other thing about it is, I'm not sure if he was watching the game real hard, because if you go back and you look at your stat sheet the other night in that LSU game, Carolina missed two free throws the entire night. They were like something like 11 for 13 or 13 of 15, because at one time late in the game, they were 9 for 9. And that was like in the fourth quarter, I think, right either before or right after the melee. So, you know, I could be a couple of baskets off, but I'll just tell you to check the percentage of what South Carolina shot in that game. It was really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So
who concerns you the most? Are you more concerned about Presbyterian or Sacred Heart?
Like Chris said, you never know.
Are you actually going to go to that game? Will you actually go? I mean, that's like the Romans going into the Colosseum to see the lions and the prisoners, from Gladiator.
You're talking about the Sacred Heart Presbyterian game?
Well, I'm talking about the winner of that game having to play South Carolina at 2:00 on Friday in Columbia. I mean,
Why would you not go? I mean, You think when UConn was beating people by 90 points that they didn't have a full house when they were starting those years when they were undefeated? You got to support your team.
Okay. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Not very sporting of you. I'm just saying.
Oh, no. You can't say it's sporting because you built your program to a point that you're able to do that. But if you're saying automatic qualifiers should get in, then if you got a program they're going up against. You can't make it look pretty. They're in. Like you said, you want them in for the men. They're in. But I'll say this. I think Keith must have just an issue with Tanner, because you know, Corn, you might not want to say it, but some of the coaches, you listen to the coaches and they leak out there. And they interviewed Dawn Staley the other day, and they asked her a little bit about how neat it was to have the boys and the girls in the tournament. And she said, you know, she talked about how she liked Lamont, what he was doing, and she said she also liked that he chose and wanted to be here. She said, because he turned down his home state. And she said, knowing from the overture that they made to her, they're one that throw around a lot of money for basketball.
Are you saying that is Dawn Staley saying that Ohio State offered Lamont Paris the job?
Whatever his home state.
Because they
elevated the interim.
Interim. After,
just the other day.
Yeah, but, just a couple of days ago. Are you saying that Lamont Paris was offered the Ohio State job?
I don't know if he was offered, but she just said, she said, to turn back your own state. And you got to, or you got to know this. Okay, if they were super sold on the interim, and he was doing well toward the end of the year with Ohio State, he'd had a job for them in the tournament. We saw guys getting elevated going into the tournament, going into their tournaments. It was clear that Ohio State had made some overtures, and then Louisville was throwing his name up. So this is my biggest thing for these people who keep on harping on the Muschamp contract deal. You don't Ray Tanner sits there and he doesn't give it. He'll get ran up a rail if Lamont left here, and they said, well, he left a salary that was last in the league. After he turned around a team that was competing for the championship, you remember his salary. We got, you know, whatever you want to blame Tanner about for Muschamp, we got Beamer and Paris on the cheap.
No doubt,
neither of them were salary.
Because you got two guys. You got two guys that give their right arm for the jobs that they got. And it's the same thing with Clemson and Sweeney. You know, they paid Sweeney nothing. He wanted the job so badly he took it for nothing. He said, "You'll pay me later." And they have. They've paid him later. And if you believe in yourself, I think Beamer believes that eventually South Carolina will pay him, because I think he believes he's going to build a championship-level program. And I think Paris believes the same thing. And he's already seeing signs of that. I mean, that was a nice bump to be paid $5 million by the end of his contract, if that contract is played out, which it probably won't be. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good jump from where he was.
But, Corn, even with that, that still puts him – in the mid-tier of the conference. That didn't jump into the top of the conference.
No, I mean, Oates just got bumped up some more. And you wouldn't expect him to be in the Calipari range or the Oates range or the what's his name at Auburn? You wouldn't expect him to be in that category Bruce Pearl. And now Chris Beard at Ole Miss. Were they paying Chris Beard at Ole Miss? I think he was making a lot of money at Texas.
They just gave him some more money.
If you're not going to be in the – he's not in the top four or five, but he's in the upper part of the middle part. At least he's not down at the very bottom anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm agreeing about, Corn.
Yeah.
If with that, you're at least saying you want him, you want to keep him, but you haven't gone way overboard. The thing is, like the guy from Clemson came on, you get these people who will say, if you left Paris there and then – Ohio State comes in and gets him. Or even Louisville, who started throwing his name out after they fired Kenny Payne. He was one of the two or three names they threw out. Any of them come and get him, then it's going to be Carolina's not serious about basketball because they wanted to pay the guy $2.3 million, which was you got mid-major coaches making, some of the mid-major coaches making that much.
I don't disagree at all with what they did. Because I happen to think, of course, I thought Beamer was going to be successful. I've had people tell me that they never thought he was going to be successful. Was that you that said that, Chris?
About Beamer?
Yeah, not Beamer. I'm sorry, Muschamp.
No, I wasn't around on Sports Talk. But yeah, I said that. Yeah, I absolutely said that. I had total confidence he was going to be a flop.
Okay, see, and I thought the other way around. So, you know, who looks stupid? But, again, you know, Paris checks all the boxes with me with what he can do at South Carolina. And I think if he holds his staff together and if he keeps Kerry Rich in there, I think Kerry Rich is integral to what they're doing because Kerry, with his network and his ability to communicate with the families, I think that's really big. And, you know, if some of these recruits turned out to be what they're projected to be, like Trent Noah and like the big guy coming in from Finland, and then you got this hotshot guard in the 25 class who lit it up in his league. If he's all that, you're talking about some really good players coming in, and plus, you know, they continue to recruit right now. So, they got a chance to put a little something special together.
And you got to remember this, Corn. This is one thing, and I'll let you go. I know you got other callers. You got to be a forward thinker if you're an AD. When you look at Paris and how they have improved, the thing about what he's doing is you can see him going out and getting those type guys to play the type basketball he plays. You're not having to go get the Kentucky guy or whoever to play. You can see where that's more sustainable than to say you're just going to out-recruit Kentucky.
No, that's not going to happen.
Texas.
Yeah, I think you
what I'm saying. He can go get guys that fit his system like he fit with this team.
Yeah.
Anytime, especially if they're winning. And that's going to be more sustainable over years than saying you're just going to go bring in about 10, 4, 5, 5 stars.
Think about how much more, and thank you for the call. Think about how much more satisfying, Chris, it must feel if you're Lamont Paris to take a guy like Colin Murray Boyles and in 1 year develop him into a potential all-SEC player than it was to have a G.G. Jackson last year, who obviously is a great talent and who's going to the NBA and is probably going to have a really good NBA career. But you had very little to do with that. And obviously your team did not thrive then, but it's thriving now with a player like that. I think that's more satisfying.
I would agree with you. And he's done a terrific job with those guys this season, melding them into a cohesive unit, but also getting a lot of talent in there as well, CMB being first and foremost.
We're with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer, let's say I'm out in the woods or I'm on the water and I need to reach a DNR agent. How do I do that?
Operation Game Thief, Phil. It's been around 30-plus years. You can call us at our 24-hour hotline any time of day, 1-800-922-5431. To report wildlife violations or to get help if you're in trouble in the woods or on the water, call us at Operation Game Thief, 1-800-922-5431.
Relax, winter is finally over. It's time to get ready for a season of adventure. Escape the ordinary and get out on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our low fixed rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, featuring no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply early for a pre-approved spending limit before you even start shopping. Let a Founders representative be your trusted advisor to make sure your purchase makes sense for you and your finances. Ask for a free auto insurance quote for a personalized plan to protect your purchase. Founders also offers mechanical breakdown protection that is competitive with most warranty plans available at dealerships. Head over to one of our 40 convenient office locations or visit foundersfcu.com to apply for an auto loan today or to see if you qualify for membership with Founders. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network. We're back in a moment.
Call Lawyer Lisa. The difference with Lawyer Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa Hostetler Brown. Helping an aging loved one arrange for their care can be one of the most difficult things you will ever do. Fortunately, you don't have to navigate this maze alone. Lawyer Lisa's knowledgeable life care team can lead you down the right path. Visit lawyerlisa.com to see how we can help.
Call Lawyer Lisa. Experience the difference with Lawyer Lisa.
7511 St. Andrews Road, Irmo, South Carolina.
You've put in the work for your education. The extra early, extra late, extra work. That's because you understand education opens doors to better pay, better opportunities, and a better you. Being educated about playing the lottery is no different. It helps you be a better player, one who knows when to play and when to take a rain check. The lottery's a game, so let's keep it fun. Learn more at sceducationlottery.com/better you.
All right, we're back. Sports Talk Media Network. We go to Ron in Greenville. Next up on Sports Talk. Welcome in, sir. How are you?
You are.
Hello, Ron. Hey, Ron.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, good. Lay down in Greenwood. You need to get your head out of Lake Greenwood. You might drown.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And Brad Brownell is a good coach. He really is. I know him. He's a good coach. How many teams, you know, went down to Alabama and beat them, went to North Carolina and beat them? Of course, they beat South Carolina, okay? Next, Gamecock Larry. What a prize you are. Clemson beat South Carolina football. South Carolina's number two in the state. Clemson beat South Carolina in basketball. South Carolina's number two in the state. And Clemson beat South Carolina in baseball. They swept them. So you're number two in the state. Phil, what you got to say about that?
I'd say it's Clemson State in men's sports. I can't argue with you. Yeah, that's your point is right on. They won in football, men's basketball. They won the baseball series. You take the three major – and soccer. They won in soccer. You take the four major men's sports, and Clemson swept them this year. It's Clemson's year. Yep, you're right.
Yeah. Now, South Carolina is definitely the women's basketball school. So, you know, I give them credit for that. They are a women's basketball school. And I think that Clemson should hire Jim Davis back as women's coach.
I'm all for that. Hear, hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right or wrong. Go back and right or wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely. I know you got more callers.
All right. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, man.
Great hearing from you. Appreciate you. Let's go to Sam in Charleston. Sam, welcome into Sports Talk. Whose city is it?
Well, actually, let's do that after that, okay? Hey, I got some three key factors to point on for Friday night's game. Can I tell you one of those?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I know we're playing. So I said to know that I was on TV on a local news station at Channel 5. I was on TV.
Oh man!
Night.
You
better check that out.
I bet you the ratings went through the roof.
Yeah, the ratings went through the roof.
Yep.
So the second question I'm having is your key factors of the game. Like, have you guys seen the when they put the bottom of the our logo, the keys to the game thing. Have you guys seen that?
Yes, a couple times, yes.
Well, actually, I want to see 100% free throws. And I would say 99 rebounds for my team.
100% free throws, 99% rebounds.
Yes. And here's another one.
Yeah.
We had to be a very defensive team, rebounding team. Corn, here's the thing I want to tell you about this.
Mm.
If you look at last year's team, we did okay. What do you think about that?
Did okay. Yeah, I think so. I got to ask you one question before we leave you, Sam. Break is coming up. Just tell me whose city is it? Whose city is it?
Whose city? Our city. Whose city? Our city. Let's go, baby.
Thank you, Sam. Hope you can make it to Spokane and back. And we'll be back after the break. Jim Thoman coming up. A little baseball talk on the other side.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
turn our attention to some college baseball, because college baseball now red hot. SEC, ACC, all the conferences playing their league games now on the weekends. It's what makes college baseball special. Teams trying to position themselves for postseason play in a couple of months and maybe a trip to Omaha. Let's welcome in a man who knows a thing or two about getting to Omaha, winning championships. They don't put rings on smooth fingers, and this man does not have smooth fingers. Coach Jim Thoman, just a bit outside. Welcome in, sir.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was in Columbia last night. Hey, I'm doing some lessons here, so you're going to hear a baseball bat in the background, but that's okay because we're talking baseball.
How about that? How about that? Do you give individual instruction?
I'm a guru up here. I don't know if it's helping any, but I'm trying. I got a kid hitting right now, 6'3 and a half, 245, left-handed hitter. He mashes. But
I hear it. I hear it in the background. Baseball. All right, go ahead. Take it away.
I didn't see you guys. I was hoping one of you would show up at Mellow Mushroom last night. I was on Gervais Street with my son, Charlie Matt. Just got back from seeing Tucker play in a prospect game down there in Dunedin or Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove all the way back and had a little Mellow Mushroom pizza. It would have been nice if one of you guys would have came in and picked up the bill.
All you had to do was invite. I don't recall getting an invitation.
Next time through, I'm going to get you on that. I love that. That pizza's pretty darn good there. Anyway.
You know, you really strike me as a Mellow Mushroom kind of guy, so I think that's a good fit.
Well, I don't. Yeah, it's always been good pie, but I am an expert on pizza, as you can tell from my body. I'm almost three bills, so I'm a big dude. But it's that half Italian in me. But anyway, let's get on to some baseball. Clemson, how about that week? They ended up 4-1 for the week. They beat Manhattan twice, and then they beat number 3 Duke, 2 out of 3 on the road. Huge weekend for the Tigers. They started that grind in the ACC, and they beat Duke on the road. It's hard to get a win on the road, and they did it. So they're 17-2. They're 2-1 in the league. And today they were number 1 in the RPI in the country.
Mm.
And I had a chance to talk to one of their assistants that used to work for me. Nick Schnabel said good pitching, good defense, and timely hitting. And I said, wow, that's a recipe at any level for success, and that was big to beat Duke 2 out of 3. He said Duke was very good. A little shout-out to Jimmy Obertop, their catcher, transferred in. He played for them guys at Michigan, Coach Backich and Coach Schnabel, but I looked at his on-base percentage, .529. He's got 25 walks this year, and he's a leader back there, but I don't know. There's too many guys that have 25 walks already.
What are they gonna do when the regular catcher? You know, he was the backup, and the number one guy got hurt. What are they gonna do when he gets healthy?
Well, it looks like someone will get a little rest time in there. They'll be even better. But they play Winthrop this week on Tuesday, and then they play Presbyterian in Greenville. I assume that's at Floor Field. Kind of a neutral site game, and then another big weekend at home. They play Florida State, and up until this past weekend, Florida State going into this week was 14-0. They weren't ranked because all the other teams won, so they didn't get in there. Then Florida State beat Florida on Tuesday or Wednesday, and then they ended up sweeping. They're 18-0. Now they've got a game this week, but they could be undefeated coming in against Clemson. So big weekend, Florida State at Clemson. That ought to be fun. South Carolina, got to give Coach Kingston credit. He came up with a gem with putting Becker in, in the third game and pitched really well to avoid the sweep. And we always talked with Coach Sander when I coached there, and if you're not playing your best baseball, when you go on the road, you got to at least try to avoid the sweep. And they did get that done. So it's hard to come back from 0-3. Coach Center always said it's a 2-game difference, which makes sense. If you're 0-3, you're 3 games under .500, away from being at .500. And if you're one and two, that's only one game under. So, you know, it's a two-game swing yesterday, and you know, Becker looked really good, and Ganey came in relief. So the Gamecocks are 30 in the RPI, and really, when Petrie and the catcher Messina they start hitting like they did last year. Like, for instance, we had two or three, the Gamecocks had, I think, 3 one-run games. If them guys were hitting like they can with men on base, the Gamecocks could be 18-2 right now, really. So it's 15-5. It is what it is. They're 13-1 at home. They went 2-2 for the week. They're 1-2 in the SEC. And I think a big key is to cut down on the strikeouts. The first two games at Ole Miss, they had 26 Ks. And then yesterday they only had 7. And the 26 Ks resulted in 2 losses. And yesterday's they only had 7 Ks, their hitters, and they got the win. So I'm thinking that, with the vet, they got vet coaches too. Kingston and Lee, there's no panic in them. Just keep grinding, keep working, keep being positive. And I really think Petrie and Messina will get hot eventually. I mean, they weren't All-Americans last year for no reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're good. So I think they'll get it going. And I'm thinking, and now this is a guess, so I don't know this for sure, but Becker sure looked like a Sunday starter to me. I don't know about what you guys think on that one. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. Coastal had a good week, 3-1 on the week. Big win in the middle of the week versus Wake Forest. They beat them 17-9. Coastal is up to 14 in the RPI. They're 17-3. And then they won 2 of 3 versus JMU. A little note here that no one knows this, but the middle infielders, Dooley and Barthel for Coastal Carolina, they've turned the most double plays in the nation right now. They're number one as far as the shortstop, second baseman combo. They have the most double plays in the nation. And they also have the most combined DRS. And I know you guys know that that's not doctors. DRS is defensive runs saved. And between Dooley and Barthel, they're number one in the country in that category. That's a new guru type analytic stat that they do. And I don't know how they figure it out, but Coastal's number one in DRS. Defensive runs saved. They go to NC State on Tuesday. That'll be a big game with the Wolfpack.
Who are you pulling for?
You know what? I mean, I got 2 degrees from NC State, and I coached there for 7 years. But, you know, I'm neutral on that. I love Gary Gilmore. It's his last year. Obviously, I'm a Wolfpack guy, so I'm neutral on everything. That's a Coach Tanner answer right there. I'm going to play the fence.
You know that's their first road game of the year?
Yeah, I saw that. It's the same thing College of Charleston is going on the road for the first time this week. Middle week, they're playing at Georgia Southern. But then they do go, I think Coastal, do they go to App State and play, or is it at home? I'm not sure.
No, it's at Appalachian State.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, let's talk about the other 5 or 6 teams in the state.
Mm-hmm.
PC had a rough week. They've lost 5 in a row. They're 9-11. But, they lost to the Citadel in the midweek, and then they lost 3 to Gardner-Webb. And then, they're struggling right now. Then they got to play Clemson Wednesday at the Pro Park down there in Greenville. So if you want to get out on Wednesday, head on down to Greenville, see Clemson and PC play. Then they head to Longwood, so maybe that'll give them a little relief. USC Upstate had a great week, 5-0. And Tennessee Tech twice. They swept, I think it was Gardner-Webb. I want to say PC probably lost, I don't know if it was George Washington, because I think Upstate swept Gardner-Webb. So I want to make sure I get this right, but College of Charleston is hanging in there. They're 12-6, and they played all their games at home as well. They were 2-2 for the week. They lost a tough one Charleston Southern in the middle of the week, but then they beat Wofford 2 out of 3, and Wofford's got a really good record. So that was a good weekend for Coach Holbrook. But they got to head on the road to go to Georgia Southern, and they're back at home this weekend against North Carolina A&T, who has a surprisingly good record. College of Charleston will head down to Georgia Southern midweek. Winthrop went 2-2 for the week. They lost at Charlotte, and then they beat Longwood 2 out of 3. And, you know, it never ends. You know, you lose a few games. Winthrop's 8-10. And on Tuesday, they got to go to Clemson 6 o'clock, play Clemson. But you know what? Some of their midweek games are trap games, and you know how there's always an upset somewhere in there, so someone's going down. The Citadel, pretty good week. 4-0. So that is a good week. They're 14-5. They beat PC in the middle of the week, and then they swept UMass. Wofford, I told you, had a good record, 13-4. They only went 1-2. They didn't play in the midweek, and they lost 2 or 3 to College of Charleston, but they're still 13-4. Charleston Southern, big midweek win against College of Knowledge. Big win for the Bucks, and then they beat High Point 2 out of 3. So they had a decent week, for 3-1 for the week, and that puts them at 500 at 10-10. I will wrap this up with a shout out and a not so good shout out, and then a prediction.
Okay,
I got time for them. Here we go. The first shout out is to not someone in the SEC or ACC. Well, he is in the SEC, but not in South Carolina. But I thought it was interesting. I was watching a game today on TV, and I saw T.J. McCants, Alabama left-handed hitter. And they said that Alabama's played 20 games, and he's got a 20-game hitting streak. So he's hit in every game that they've played this year. And if they play 56, isn't that Joe DiMaggio's record?
It is.
Because college baseball plays 56 games. You never know.
Mm.
I'm probably jinxing them right now. But anyway, the other one is Wake Forest, not-so-good shout-out. They went from number one in the country. And last week, they went 2-5. You know, they lost 2 out of 3 to Duke. And they actually ended up losing 2 out of 3 twice in a row. They went 2-5. They lost in the midweek, the Coastal, and then they lost 2 out of 3 to UVA. So losing 2 out of 3 to Duke, losing the Coastal, and 2 out of 3 to UVA. So they went from the penthouse to that other thing.
Mm.
I guess it's called the outhouse. But they're still really good. They just had a rough week. They gave up. Listen to these runs they gave up. And they have a really good pitching staff. And they have they're really big and take a lot of pride in the pitching lab at Wake Forest. But they gave up 8 runs, 3 runs, 10 runs, 17 runs, 16 runs, 3 runs, and 11 runs. So the 2-3 runs that they gave up was Chase Burns. He throws 100, and he had the 2 wins. The other 5 games were 8 runs, 10 runs, 17, 16, 11. That's the rest of the pitchers. So Chase Burns is the guy that you'll hear his name in the first round of the draft for Wake. The other pitchers obviously did not have a good week. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I know you guys are going to laugh at this. Storm's prediction, men's basketball winner, national title. Drum roll, please. Is Connecticut. Okay.
Whoa.
Now,
okay.
Women's national championship. Drum roll, please. South Carolina.
Oh. Holy smokes.
So I didn't go out on a, I'm not one to go out on a limb, and I don't gamble, but I'm taking Connecticut for the men's and South Carolina for women because I like to be right. Other than that, that's all I got. Next time I'm in Columbia, I'm getting some food from one of you guys.
Mellow Mushroom it is. Just give us a heads up. We'll be there.
Yeah, I should have called you. I was driving through. It was an 11-hour drive. I had to go all the way to Florida to watch my son play.
Well, I went through Murfreesboro, coming back from Nashville to Atlanta, and I kept looking for, you know, some kind of a monument or statue up to you, but I think they took it down. You know, when they were taking those statues down all around the South, I think they pulled yours down as well.
I think someone knocked it down. I think during one of them riots, they knocked mine down. I might go back down there and put it up, but. Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be any statues of me put up anytime soon.
There you go.
But I am a DLG, so you know what that is, right?
No, what's that?
Good-looking guy.
There you go. And you're in the marketplace, right? I mean, you can be found on former coaches looking for dates.com or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a bachelor, and I'm looking, and I'm available. Don't tell the five girlfriends that I have that, but other than them five, I'm good. I'm available.
You got one for every spot in the field, almost. You got almost a complete team.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I'm still, you know, I work out at Planet Fitness, and I'm getting after it.
Listen, you're a good-looking guy. What can I say? I can't argue the point, you know.
I hear you.
All right, sir.
Have a great week. I might try to sneak down to Columbia because I think Vanderbilt's coming to town, right?
Vandy comes to town this weekend.
Well, I might have to get Coach Tanner to get me some tickets or something for that. I don't know.
See if he can squeeze you in.
There's a lot of fishing to be had up here, and I do occasional lessons, but I may try to sneak down to Columbia for at least a game.
Look forward to seeing you.
All right, guys.
See you.
Have a good one.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach Toman. And definitely just a bit outside on this Monday night. They don't make him like him, do they, Chris?
No, they don't. They certainly broke the mold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad
he is a unique individual and a great personality. I appreciate him doing this with us. That really, I don't know about you. I mean, we love college baseball. I love the insight that he brings in touching on all the teams in the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does a terrific job with that. He obviously takes that segment very seriously because mm-hmm. he's done his research.
Okay, let's get to another serious segment, shall we? You know what that is?
Time for a little recruiting.
That's right. Can't leave this in the hands of a non-professional. In the hands of a non-professional, this would be dangerous information. That's why I insisted I deliver the recruiting news. You okay with that?
Indeed.
Yeah. Not that you're not a professional. Don't get me wrong.
No, trust me. I have no problem with you taking care of the recruiting report. I do have the... menu for Seawells, though.
I was going to say, let's talk about Seawells real quick, sponsor of our recruiting report here on Sports Talk, and it's another week of the Daily Luncheon Buffet. What you got?
They were actually closed today, so they give you an extra day to sort of work up that appetite for Southern Fried Chicken tomorrow, beef tips in mushroom gravy, and carved applewood ham.
They might see me tomorrow because we've got a 12:30 press conference with Shane Beamer. You know, the Gamecocks open spring ball in the morning. So hit that up, then go back for Beamer at 12:30, and after that, slide by Seawells and chow down. How about that? That's what I call a good day.
This may be a rare week in which football gets less coverage than basketball does.
Yeah. We're around here, you know, with the two teams, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Clemson's on spring break. So we'll have that covered for you tomorrow, of course, on the website and on the show. And if you need the very best in the catering business, you want to give Seawells that phone call as well at 803-771-7385 or online at SeawellsCateringSC.com. Don't forget the Daily Luncheon Buffet every day from 11 till 2. This morning, Clemson gets the commitment from safety Tay Harris, 6 feet, 195, out of Cedartown, Georgia. That's usually Georgia Bulldog country. And he was a one-time commitment to Georgia. But he flipped to Clemson after decommitting in January. He camped at Clemson last summer. He was in for their junior day March 9th. He's also close friends with Clemson safety Khalil Barnes, who campaigned on the part of the Tigers to get him to jump on board. And Harris said he called Dabo Swinney, who's in the Bahamas on vacation. And, of course, that excited him greatly, Swinney that is. And he said after his visit, on March 9th, he kind of knew Clemson was where he wanted to be. He's a fast guy. He's one of the fastest players in Georgia. And so they look forward to being able to put that speed to work. So he joins Clemson. He's the 11th commitment in the 25 class for the Tigers, the second at safety. Offensive tackle David Sanders has his official visit set, including USC, USC, April 19th. and Clemson on May 31st. So, he also has dates with Georgia, June 7th, Tennessee, June 14th, Alabama, June 18th, Ohio State, June 21st. South Carolina's reached into Miami Central High School to offer defensive end Floyd Bouchard, 6'4", 280. He's got a bunch of offers, Florida, Florida State, Miami, Maryland, Michigan State, Penn State, Southern Cal, Louisville, Oklahoma, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Missouri. And he's got officials to Louisville, May 31st, Miami, June 7th, Oklahoma, June 14th. He was named the defensive line MVP of a recent combine in Miami. USC offered corner Tarion Grant of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He's been committed to Purdue since January. Also, UCF, Alabama, Texas A&M, Florida State, Oregon, LSU, Virginia Tech, Arkansas, Florida, they've offered him. USC offered safety Carson Lawrence, 6'3", 180, of Chattanooga. He's been committed to Vanderbilt since last June. Defensive tackle Kyrese Excel, 6'2", 295. Safety Justin Rowe, linebacker Leo Stez, make that Leo Cefez, S-F-E-Z. Or maybe it's Fez, the S is silent, or maybe it's Says and the F is silent. We'll go with Cefez, 5'11", 205, and 2026 linebacker Derek Duran, 6'1", 180. They all go to the Asheville School, and they visited USC yesterday. All are from Canada. Rowe was previously offered by the Gamecocks. The group was at Virginia Tech Saturday. Clemson down for an official visit May 31st from corner Dallas Golden of Tampa, according to Tom Loy of 24/7 Sports. He's also expected to take June officials to Georgia, Notre Dame, and Florida State. USC target offensive tackle Michael Carroll was offered by Texas A&M. 2026 offensive tackle Brody McWhorter, Cartersville, Georgia, recently offered by USC, was offered by Auburn. Clemson targets defensive tackle Christian Garrett, offensive tackle Mason Short, defensive end Isaiah Gibson, all Georgia natives, were at Georgia over the weekend. Clemson target offensive tackle Zaire Addison was at Southern Cal Sunday. He made a swing through the West Coast with stops at UCLA, Oregon, and Stanford as well. Receiver Stephen Collier of River Bluff set an official visit with East Carolina June 13th. Basketball, Clemson among the schools showing interest in 6'4". Furman transfer Marcus Foster, according to Joe Tipton of On3. This season, the Atlanta native averaged 17 points, 7.5 rebounds per game. Other schools showing interest, Arkansas, Indiana, Texas Tech, Georgia, Kansas State, and Florida State. Three Coastal players entered the portal. Freshman guard Jacob Meyer, junior guard John Sanders, and junior shooting guard Kylan Blackman. Quick response, Chris.
Jacob Meyer is a huge loss for Coastal. Kid that probably should have been freshman of the year in the Sun Belt. I mean, he had a terrific first season for them, so that's a major, major loss.
Winthrop guard Kelton Talford is transferring. He's a good player. Clemson women's guard Ruby Whitehorn is in the portal, John, and USC forward Sonia Ja is in the portal, John, flushing their way out of their respective programs as well. There you go with recruiting, brought to you here on Sports Talk by Seawells. Be sure to check it out. Website, sportstalksc.com. On X, use the hashtag STRecruiting. Our good buddy Roger up in Woodruff says the NCAA tournament went from 25 to 32 and 75, 40 and 79, 48 and 80, 52 and 83, 53 and 84, 64 and 85, 65 and 01, and 68 and 11.
I don't remember the 50s.
Me neither.
I thought it was there was a 48 in there, so I appreciate the information. That's fascinating. So history tells us they'll constantly expand, so I don't know why we should be surprised. They want to go to 70 now.
Hey, make sure you get those brackets into us. Chris, have safe travels tomorrow.
Thank you.
Talk to you from Pittsburgh. Thank you, Josh.
Yep.
Great night, everybody. See you tomorrow.